This is the Apple This Extra.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Apple Viz Extra. I am Scott Davert, coming to you from the other side of the country from the last time I recorded an extra. I'm actually on Long Island this time around. In the co-host seat tonight, as we're recording this, it's tonight, we have Alex Hall. Good evening, Alex.
Hello, everyone. Doing pretty well. Fair warning, though, my voice is not the best. I don't know why. It's a little bit croaky, so I do apologize for that, but we'll get through it.
Sounds fine to me. And more importantly, not that Alex isn't a very important person, but more importantly, for purposes of this podcast, we have a guest tonight, and our guest is an Apple-certified support professional and trainer. He's also an authorized Apple Store business affiliate. He also does Mac training with VoiceOver for both iOS and OS X, and runs www.macfortheblind.com. That's all one series of words. And he's actually one of the people that got me up and running on the Mac, and probably didn't know that until right now. Good evening to John Panarese on the other side of Long Island.
That's right. We're in the same locale. And I didn't know I got you up and running on the Mac.
Yeah, the website did. Actually, the first thing that I had ever looked at in textual form with the Mac was your version of the text version of the manual on your website. I think it was Snow Leopard.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first thing I ever looked at.
Good. I'm glad it's benefiting people. It's always nice when you do get feedback from people that say, you know, I've, you know, rated your site, downloaded everything I can, and it's really helped. And, you know, that's really what it's there for.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I think, why we're all here, you know, to help benefit the community and get information out there and get people as much help as they can.
That's what I'm trying to do. You know, that's all part of the process.
I hear you. Well, John, we could talk about a lot of different things, certainly. I know that you do some work with Apple. I know that, well, I already said that you're certified and you have all those things going on. So why don't we kind of start with what you're up to right now?
Well, I'm still doing training for state agencies on Mac and iOS as well for private clients. You know, I pretty much throughout the country, I mean, from East Coast to West Coast, including Hawaii. I even have a few people overseas that I work with in the UK and Australia. So it's keeping me relatively busy. I'm also starting to make available in the next couple of weeks some audio tutorials actually for sale. Try my hand at actually trying to sell a few things through the website. It's not going to diminish or detract from the stuff that's up there right now for free. It's not like all of a sudden everything's going to have a price tag. This is just a special project that I want to float and see if people would actually be interested in purchasing some relatively inexpensive tutorials.
I was hoping you were going to sell my podcast and give me some money, you know, the ones you linked to.
If you want to do that, that's, you know, we
no.
could not. Yeah, and you know, that's, you know, I want to be clear that I'm not trying to, you know, compete with anybody per se and say that I can do things better. I'm a believer in the more resources that are out there for people, you know, who are learning, trying to learn the Mac, trying to learn iOS, the better it is for everybody. So it's just another source out there for people.
Now, are these going to focus on OS X or iOS?
The first five or six will be OS 10, but I am going to do some iOS. I'm just working out the final little kinks to make sure that I'm using Audio Hijack to record the tutorials, and I just need to make sure that it's going to record the iOS output from the phone or the iPad, you know, well enough that they can be handled. You know, can be that'll sound at least well for people who end up purchasing it.
Yeah, Audio Hijack is actually a really good app. They've done a lot in terms of making their app accessible to voiceover users.
It's the first time I'm using it, and I will give full props to Darcy Bernard, who really got me up and running with it. I sort of threw him an email email one day when it was suggested to me. I get stuff edited through P&D Audio, you know, Patrick Perdue and Derek Lane's company. Mm-hmm. And they suggested, Patrick actually suggested doing Audio Hijack to get the separate outputs of the mic and the voiceover and everything else. So I ended up shooting Darcy Bernard, who is a co-host with mine on Maccessibility, and asked him some questions, and he was kind enough to send me a sessions file that really kind of set everything up for me and made it a snap to just start recording. I mean, I didn't have to really dabble and try to figure out how to set that, all that, you know, configuration stuff up, you know. So, and he also sent some suggestions on how to get the iOS side working with QuickTime. So we'll see. We'll see how this all ends up, you know, working together in the end.
Yeah, I'm old school. I'm still using a mixer, an actual hardware mixer.
That was suggested to do that too, but I was like, you know what? I'll never figure that out. I don't have enough time in the day to do a lot of the little projects I'd love to be able to do. You know, I'm still determined to learn AppleScript someday. I'm still determined to get better at the command line. You know, all these promises I've made to myself over the last few years, it just, I don't have, if there was 27 hours in the day instead of 24, I might be able to, but not at this point.
Yeah, I totally get it. Well, let's kind of shift gears a little bit and you have quite a history or quite a background in the AT field, right?
Yeah, I was a vendor for 17 or so years, technology for the visually impaired, started in like the early 90s and closed it out in 2010 before I jumped to training. And so I was selling everything under the sun, you know, Jaws, Window Eyes. I was importing for Portset. I imported for Robotron of Australia for a little while. And you know what? To be honest with you, it was fun. It was great as a vendor. I had a lot of fun, particularly at the trade shows, you know, with the fellow people who, you know, other vendors. We had a lot of good times. But from the sense of perspective of stress and just my overall perspective on life, I'm much happier as a trainer than I ever was as a vendor.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's kind of a trade-off. You get one kind of reward as far as, you know, the financial end, whereas this one, you're kind of more, it's more a reward in helping people, and it's more altruistic.
Yeah, and it's direct helping people, you know. And I know there's a lot of great stories about people who ended up buying products or who never had the access to, you know, assistive tech and ended up buying stuff from me. And now these people are actually, a few of them are actually running their own businesses and involved in, you know, the industry. But as a trainer, you really have a direct hand in helping people and getting them to use their devices, you know, successfully. And you know, so that, and it's also less travel. You know, I'm not worried about stocking items. I'm not worried about laying out cash for stocking items and having stuff laying all over my house that I used to have. So there's a lot of perks to just being a trainer and, you know, picking and choosing the places I go. Like I went out to NFB in Orlando and spent a day or so there and used the rest of the time basically just to bum and, you know, go to Disney World and that. So I pick my spots to travel where as a vendor – you had to.
It's too bad Thomas wasn't here. He would have liked to have compared notes about Disney World. He's a big Mickey Mouse fan.
Oh, I love Disney World. It's called the happiest place on earth for a reason. I'll speak for hours with him if he wants about that. I just love those parks.
Now, John, I'm just curious. You said as a vendor you sold everything under the sun, and now you're training. Are you training only on Apple, or are you still training for Windows?
No, I still do side work for Windows. I mean, Mac and iOS are my main focuses, but I certainly, if somebody asks me to do Jaws or Windows Eyes training, you know, I will definitely do that. I do have working through Helen Keller National Center, the I Can Connect program. I'll probably end up doing more Windows training, and I've done it in the past. And, you know, I did it for so many years. You know, when I was selling PCs, you basically, you know, had to, part of the deal, if you sold Jaws or Windows Eyes, was you obviously had to teach the people. And it's funny, though, because I never thought to myself back then that I would find myself as a trainer. And people would say, oh, you should really get into the training business. And I used to sort of laugh at them and say, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach people. I'll do it to, you know, to support the product that I sell, but I could never see myself as an instructor full time. And it's very ironic that that's what my business, my full-time career is now, and how much happier I am doing it than I ever was as a vendor.
So what forced your hand?
The industry just got really tight as like the middle 2000s, you know, 05, 06, 07, the handwriting on the wall started to get a little clearer as far as, you know, everybody was sort of circling the wagons, you know, Freedom Scientific, you know, GW Micro, all the companies, Humanware, people were going out of business. I knew a lot of small vendors like me who were basically jumping to either bigger companies or leaving the field entirely. And it got to a point where I sort of had to look in the mirror and I could say to myself, I can either try to keep doing this and end up putting myself in debt up to my eyeballs, or I could get out while the going was good and find something else to do. And realistically, to be honest with you, I had washed my hands of the assistive tech industry. My plan, quote unquote, was to get a mainstream job, you know, either working at an Apple store or doing some IT work someplace. I never intended or believed that I would still be doing assistive tech stuff as a trainer and end up, you know, Apple becoming such a, you know, primary, you know, force as far as that goes.
So as far as Apple, that was kind of my next question, actually. What pushed you from supporting everything and selling everything to mostly doing Apple stuff and getting all these Apple certifications and working so closely with Apple itself?
I got fortunate enough, thanks to my father, who passed away back in October, but he was, you know, he had retired from the fire department, New York City Fire Department, in the early 90s and ended up sort of being my partner, for the lack of a better way. As I traveled, you know, he was retired, he had nothing to do, so, you know, we used to travel to the different shows. And in 2005, when VoiceOver came out on the Mac, and he knew that I was really, because I've had family and friends who are Mac users for many, many years, and they used to torture me about using Windows and all this other stuff. So when the Mac became accessible, I got an iBook right away. And I'll never forget, I did a CSUN show in 2005, and Apple's accessibility people were there pushing VoiceOver. And I had said to my dad on the flight over, I said, you know, I really would like to talk to the accessibility people, because I just think that Apple, I just kind of sensed that Apple was going to be doing, you know, big things as far as the blindness, you know, community was going. And it wasn't obviously on the radar yet at that point. But my dad, being my dad, of course, I'm, you know, busy working, you know, as people would come to the booth, all of a sudden, he's like, I want to introduce you to some people. And he ended up introducing me. He brought over two people from the Apple accessibility table to meet me. And it's kind of struck up a relationship with two of the people that has, one of them I still keep in touch with today. But as the years went by, I got more and more involved in, you know, liking Mac OS X and getting to use VoiceOver. And by 2008, 2009, personally, I had switched over to the Mac. I was still running PCs and still selling them at that point, but as far as running the business and doing my own personal stuff, I had switched to the Mac. And then when I closed the business, a friend of mine said to me, well, while you're looking for a mainstream job, you know, you love the Mac, you love iOS, why don't you put up a website and, you know, keep yourself busy, put stuff up there and put a blurb about training people. I said, I don't want to train people. I'm not going to train people. He's like, you can make extra money. What's the difference? You can do this over the phone, do it, you know, over the internet, whatever. So I did it. And I never expected within the first couple of weeks of putting that on my website that I could train people. I got contacted by two state agencies and about five or six people looking for private training. So by the end of the first year, I had about six state contracts, and I was carrying probably 8 to 10 private clients at a given time. So within a year, I was like, okay, maybe I can make a career of this. And then the idea kind of hit me sort of little by little that I sort of saw that what was going to happen was that people, like with Windows, you're going to have people all over the place saying, I can train you in the Mac, I can train you in iOS. And what was going to set me apart from anybody else, other than the fact that I was one of the first people to do it? I mean, you can't really live on that particular, you know, whatever standpoint.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So my brother had taken the OS X Snow Leopard certification, And he said, why don't you get certified? He said, if you get certified, you could put that on your website, put that on your business card. And that really says something, that Apple certifies you as, you know, as a support professional, et cetera, et cetera. So I talked to the person, one of the people that I knew from Apple at that time, still from the accessibility days, and I asked her about it. And she said, yeah, why don't you do it? And she gave me some information, and I ended up doing some research on my own. I got in touch with a center here in New York City, NovaWorks, as far as taking the exam. And I studied on my own for 4 months, and I had no idea what, you know, what was going to happen. And I went in there, and I got a 92.5.
Wow.
And the next year, that was for the Lion certification. And then the Mountain Lion certification, I took it again, and I got a 92.5. And the guy said to me, you know, you don't have to come in here every year and do this, you know. He said, you know, you got the certification, you're an authorized trainer. As long as you keep up free, you know, you keep up with the OS and you keep reading the guides, you know, maybe wait for the next, you know, maybe the third or fourth one to come along. And then if you want to, you know, brush up and certify again, but you don't have to keep coming back to me every year. So, you know, I basically am, you know, at this point certified. And the rule that I understand is that from Apple's standpoint, if you score over a 90, you can also call yourself an Apple certified trainer as well as a support professional. So I've been teaching the Mac 101 course since I got my certification in Lion. And I've worked with about 7 or 8 private clients, a couple of state clients, and now I'm doing an online course with the Fedora Outlier people that is going to start this week to teach people to you know, prepare them for the Apple certification course test.
Well, let's be clear about one thing with this. It's not certified as a voiceover trainer. This is like mainstream.
This is mainstream. There is no certification for voiceover. Apple basically told me, they gave me their blessing in the beginning, because I had asked them when I started training, can I call myself a voiceover trainer? And they told me, sure. And I said, well, what happens if I get questioned by a state agency? You know, what makes me a certified trainer? And they basically said, well, write to us if there's any controversy and anybody wants to challenge that, you know, that you're a trainer. But there is nothing for a voiceover, you know, it's not like, you know, like Window Eyes and Jaws, where you can become a certified instructor through their, you know, their products. Mm-hmm. Apple does not have a voiceover, you know, at this moment. And as far as I am aware, they don't have any plans to have any certification right now.
But in the certification that you took, was there voiceover material?
It's definitely mentioned when you do the section on application, you know, learning, dealing with applications and troubleshooting applications. They do a whole section on the accessibility features of OS X, and voiceover is certainly taught to certified support professionals. You know, so it is definitely, you know, it's not skipped over. Let me put it to you that way.
So there's an awareness of what it is.
If
a sighted trainer comes to a client who has a visual impairment, they're going to be able to say, oh, yeah, you can do this. But they might not know.
They're not
going
to know how
details
to
click nav, that kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But they'll know it exists, and they'll know how to turn it on, and they'll basically know, you know, what it does.
Okay.
And with the ability to be certified, that opens up a lot of doors, not only within the community that is blind and visually impaired, just in general. Whereas, you know, if somebody who just calls themselves a trainer who may know voiceover but doesn't have the certification, that's what sets you and others who have taken that certification ahead of those who haven't.
Right. And it's just because you have the ability to support OS X. And, you know, it's not just a matter of teaching voiceover. You can also teach people the Mac and, you know, troubleshoot. And I handle a lot of tech support emails, questions from people, and I get calls through the, you know, from the website. People, I don't mind helping people out, certainly in that way. And it, to me, I see it as a way to put that certification to good use. And it also, you know, there is a link to the Apple Store on my site. And if people purchase products through my link, the deal that I have as a business affiliate is I'm responsible as the first line tech support. So if they buy a Mac through my website, if they have any questions or issues, they contact me and say, I bought the Mac, you know, through your link. and this is what's happening, and I have to provide them with the you know, the basically first line.
And just to clarify, a business affiliate is completely separate from having a training certification?
Yeah, yeah. Business affiliate is just that you get a small commission. You have a link to the Apple online store, and anytime somebody purchases an item through your link, you get like a small commission depending on the product. It's not more than like 5%.
Okay.
But, you know, the deal is that you then, you know, have to provide them with the tech support. It's not like a value-added reseller. That's completely different. That's when you, you know, you actually buy stock, you know, product from Apple, and you get like a, I don't know, I think it's 20% or 25% or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So what does one, the authorized Apple store business affiliate, that's what this is referring to, right?
Yes, yes.
And how is that different? I assume there's a process involved there too, right? You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to throw a link up on my site now.
No, no. You have to actually contact Apple. You got to fill out a whole lot of paperwork. And it helps that, you know, like I said, I kind of had a bit of an advantage because I've been dealing with Apple and working with Apple for so long that, you know, I got sort of, I guess you'd say, vouched for, you know, by some people. And, you know, it's like I said, a value-added reseller, you have to sell, I think it's $250,000 worth of product per year to get recognized as a value-added reseller. I'm never going to, you know, get even a fraction to that. Mm-hmm. So that was the best, or, you know, alternative I had was the business affiliate program. It's on their website. I mean, if anybody's interested in exploring it, there's information on their website about becoming an Apple authorized business affiliate. You got to fill out a whole bunch of paperwork. There's an online application, and I think there's references and other things you need to do. It's not an easy process, but it's definitely doable for a blind person.
Now, is that process free, or do you also have to pay a fee on top of that to become an affiliate?
There might have been a small fee attached to it for the processing, but I don't honestly remember because it's been several years and it might have changed. I don't want to quote say anything and people come back to me and go, well, you said, you know, I'm not sure. I think there was a small fee involved, but it could, you know, a lot might have changed, you know, and the process might have changed. I haven't looked at it in a while.
So with that, it's a fairly comprehensive deal. I was reading up a little bit on it earlier. But before we get into the actual specifics, are there – certainly one of the questions that everyone's going to want to know is, are there costs associated with it, or is it just a lot of study time?
Well, buying the guide is the first step. There's a training guide, an Apple Pro Training Series guide that you can get through iBooks, or you can get it from peachpitpress.com. It's the Apple Pro Training Series, OS X Yosemite Essentials by Kevin White and Gordon Davidson. Mm-hmm. It's probably about $50 or $60. I don't remember what the cost is. You get it as an ebook. You can get study material and stuff all in, you know, included in what you pay. Now, people will tell you to go get the testing kits. There's like $100, $150 testing kits. Don't waste your time, folks. Just buy the guide. Sit down with the guide. You're going to have to read it cover to cover and take notes and just, you know, learn the guide. There is an iOS application called Revise IT. That gives you sample exams. I don't remember if Revise IT was free or if it was 99 cents, but it's something, certainly a fraction of paying for a testing kit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, once you have the guide, study it, take your time with it. It's not something, you know, I took me 4 months to prepare. Right. And, you know, I also keep in mind I was doing that while I was training people and other stuff at the same time, but it took me 4 months. The exam is going to cost you $150 to take. It's an 80-question, multiple-choice exam. Now, the problem is, from a blind person's perspective, is there's screenshots that you have to have a reader. So when you contact the center, you got to get an authorized Apple Training Center to get the, you know, to administer the exam. It's not a Prometrics exam. So like Prometrics does a lot of the other Apple certifications, but the OS X Essentials, the Hardware Essentials and Server Essentials, I think, are only done through an authorized Apple training course, training center. So you'll have to find one in your area. If you're on Long Island, in the, you know, at least the local area, in the city, the five boroughs, the best place I can suggest to you is NovaWorks. That's where I took mine. They do a great job. The reader, Bill Kehoe, was really, really good. You know, really described the screenshots well. And that's important because, like I said, there's at least 10 questions that are based on those screenshots that you have to answer. So, because a lot of people will ask me, well, can I take it online? Can I take it at a computer? And no, you do need the reader. And they give you extra time. Sighted people get 2 hours, but we get extended time. So you can have up to 4 hours. They do have accommodations. It's Apple, you know, Apple does provide that. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy test. Is it the most difficult technology exam out there? I don't know. Somebody was telling me privately that there's a certification for Linux servers or something, or something else that's even more intense. But as far as I'm concerned, from my experience over the years, and I took the social work, what is that called? The MSW certification when I got out of grad school. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the hardest exam I ever took in my life. The Apple exam totally blew that away. I mean, it was grueling. It was definitely a grueling 80 questions. It's doable for a blind person.
Well, with that, I mean, certainly there are advantages to being in the New York metro area, but let's say somebody in, say, Phoenix or Portland or wherever would be interested in taking the exam. Would you recommend that they just contact their local center and try and set something up? Or
yes.
Is there like, okay.
Yes. If I would do a search on the Apple website, training.apple.com, and just look for a training center in your local area, contact them directly. If for any particular reason they give you a hard time about, you know, providing you a reasonable accommodations, don't be afraid to drop a line to accessibility@apple.com by email and give them the name of the training center. And if you can, who you spoke to, and say that you want to take the, you know, the Apple certification support professional exam, and that this is what they told you, because it's like I said, they have to provide you a reasonable accommodations, and Apple will be more than willing to work with you. I don't foresee anybody having a problem, but just in case it does happen.
With regard to actually studying the material, the thing that occurred to me is, well, we have a new OS X coming out in the fall. Should I bother, or should I wait and wait for the next OS X release to come out to start studying?
Well, usually it takes about 4 months before the exam becomes available. So even if they release El Capitan in November, you're probably looking at February before you're going to be able to even take the certification for that. So my response to that question is I really leave that up to the individual. You got to kind of look at it this way. It's going to take you a few months to prepare. Do you want to take that exam at the end of the year only to have a new OS come out the next year, or would you rather just wait? It's kind of one of these borderline calls. If I had to do it at this point, I'd probably wait. Personally, because I know myself and I know what kind of time I have. If you have a lot of free time on your hands and you think you can get the job done in a month or two, then go for it. You know, and also before I because people would definitely call me on this, but I do have to mention Apple does provide a intensive course that you can take at Apple certified training centers. I don't remember if it's called Mac 101 or if it's called Apple Mac Bootcamp or something like that, but it's a 3-day course. It's 24 hours. It's 8 hours a day, and they go through the whole guide, and they teach you to be prepared to take the certification exam. Now, the problem with this is that it's not, to my knowledge, set up for a blind person. So if you're going to go to that course, I don't know how well you're going to do sitting in the room, the classroom with a bunch of other sighted people trying to follow along on the Mac with VoiceOver. That's one of the reasons why I did this, all the preparation stuff on my own. I was just kind of told that I would be better off taking my time and not wasting it, because it's like $1,500, $1,600 to take that exam. Oh. That course. So I just figured the best route was just to buy the book for, at the time, $50 and just study myself. And I was one of those fools that spent $99 on the testing kit, by the way. So that's why I'm advising people don't do it.
So I just want to clarify one other thing, too. You said that there were a few different components to this. You got OS X, hardware, server, and I assume iOS is in there somewhere. Are these all different, I guess, subtests within these 80 questions, or is there
No. Those are different exams. Those are different exams. Okay. There's the Apple Support Professional exam. There's the Server Support Essentials, and it's hardware. I forget what it's exactly called, but those are the three biggies. Those are the three biggest exams that you can take as far as Apple certifications go. I mean, they have other ones for like iWorks and, you know, specific applications.
So as far as, I mean, because most of our listeners, I imagine, if they want to do this, they're going to be iOS and OS X. Right. So that would be which one? Which one would they go for if they just want to?
It would be OS X. I don't know if there's an iOS certification out there yet. I'm sure there will be. But from what I was told, because I've asked a couple of times if there's an iOS certification exam, because I definitely wanted to get certified in doing that as well. And they keep telling me, no, there isn't.
Oh, that's interesting. I would think there would be. That's surprising. And they never touch on iOS in the Mac side of things at all. Like the Mac certification is strictly OS X.
It's strictly OS X. It's nine sections. You know, it covers everything from installation to configuration, all the way up to like shutdown, restart. You know, applications, data. You know, file storage, all that stuff in between. Time machine. You know, so it covers all bases of Mac OS X.
Oh. So if you're somebody that's going into this wanting to get certified, what I'm getting from this, which may seem obvious to you and I, but it may not be obvious to some of our listeners, is you better have a really darn good grasp on how VoiceOver works and how that plays out, possibly, you know, in terms of what somebody might be seeing on the screen.
Yes. And, you know, you got to really, when I offer the course privately to people, I say to them up front that you should have a lot of VoiceOver experience, because, I mean, I've taught VoiceOver and the Mac 101 course sort of consecutively. And I really give the two guys who did this a lot of credit, because they learned VoiceOver first and they jumped right into the Mac 101 course right after that. And one of them got their certification. I don't know if the other guy ever did. I haven't heard from him. But I just give that a lot of credit, because to learn VoiceOver first and then go right into the Mac 101 stuff was just that's asking a lot.
But it is doable.
It's doable, yeah, definitely. Like I said, I had the one guy who did it.
But you better be dedicated.
Yes. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, this is no simple undertaking. However, if you go through the whole thing and you do get the certification, you find out who you can go and have be a reader, and you take the exam and you pass, what do you think are some of the rewards for passing that certification?
It really depends on what field you want to get involved in. So you can do everything from, you could literally go to an Apple store and apply for a job as a genius, or, you know, as a person working in the store, because you're certified to work with the Mac and all of that, you know. So that's certainly one avenue. If you go to apple.com and look at their job postings, you often will see customer service and, you know, different type, even what they call at-home positions. So you, again, with that certification on your resume, it certainly will give you an upper hand competing against other people. If you're just an IT person, you know, to have that certification is just something else under your belt to, you know, be able to offer to people, because the Mac is starting to become widely used in enterprise. It's not like it was, you know, people used to say, well, it's a consumer product. Apple's only consumer. They don't use it in business. And over the last 5 years, basically Macs and enterprise are pretty much even as far as, you know, with Windows in their use. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having that certification as an IT person, you know, certainly is an advantage for you. And then lastly, if you're in the AT business, you know, just having that certification and being able to, you know, support both Windows and Mac is just advantageous to you on a professional level.
Sure.
Oh, for sure.
As you were taking this test, one of the things I run into sometimes, if I'm helping someone with low vision or if I'm helping even someone who's sighted, I sometimes run into, like, I don't know what this icon looks like. I don't know where the send button is visually on the screen. Was any of that kind of a challenge? You know, did you ever have to say, well, now you click the little airplane and it's in the bottom left, you know, whatever that kind of thing is. Did you run into a lot of visual stuff like that, that VoiceOver can identify, but in a different way than a sighted person might need it to be?
Yeah, on some occasions there is a terminology thing, the way VoiceOver will identify stuff. And in the guide, it will refer to the picture or the icon. And sometimes I had to actually ask a sighted person what that button, where that button is, and I go, oh, that's what it is.
So you definitely, know? Even if you're a VoiceOver user, you do need to know visually where it is, what it looks like.
Yeah, at least sometimes the descriptions of the icons are done from the visual perspective, so you should have at least a reasonable idea of how some of this stuff, you know, what the terms are, you know.
So if I'm studying for this exam, I'm not yet, but if I was, would you say it would probably be a good idea to sit down with somebody who has vision from time to time and just say, hey, you know, this and this is on my screen. This is what VoiceOver is treating it. What does it look like on the screen? And then, you know, take notes on that so that you can know for your own testing purposes.
Yeah, it definitely will help. Is it super important? Is it going to make or break you? Probably not. But it's still good to have that knowledge, especially when you're dealing with sighted people, because, you know, sighted people refer to everything from the visual perspective anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're going to just say the whatever shaped icon or the airplane, as you said, the airplane icon or whatever. So unless you can translate that in your brain to what VoiceOver calls it, you know, you really should at least have a cursory knowledge of what the icons appear like for certain applications and certain preferences and stuff like that.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's definitely a process, but, you know, hey, the trade-off in the end is, I think, well worth it. You know, you have something like that on your resume. You want to do anything in the technology field that relates to Apple products, that's going to look really good on your resume. Not a lot of people have
definitely. That. And it's a personal sense of accomplishment, because it's twofold. Number one, just taking the test and passing it as an individual, that challenge. And, you know, I was told by a couple of trainers that a lot of people, I was told anywhere upwards of 70% of people, the first two times they take the exam, they fail it. So for me to pass both exams on the first try, that was just a sense of an accomplishment. But then on top of that, as a blind person, that just really made me feel great. And it's not a sense of arrogance or anything. It's like, it's just the relief and just having done that, it really can't be described. It's really a great feeling to just know that you put yourself through that and you succeeded in the end.
Definitely.
Now when you took it, did you know you were ready, or were you still like, well, I don't know?
I knew I was like, the first time I did it, I was just like, all right, I got to do this now. I'm as ready as I ever be. If I go any further, I'm going to drive myself nuts. The second time I took it, it was really interesting, because I think, you know, because having the first experience, I was so calm and I was just like, I got this. And it wasn't, again, not arrogance or anything like that, but it was just that personal switch in me that knew when I was ready. You know, I had been taking the exams. I'll never forget this. I had to do a presentation in Maryland for the Association of Blind Administrators, and I was asked to do a thing on the Mac. And while I was out there, I spent a couple of days in Silver Spring and in Baltimore, and I was sitting with my girlfriend in the Inner Harbor, and she was reading me. She was doing the Revise IT app, and she was reading me the questions, and I was getting them all right. And I took a couple of simulated exams, and I got hundreds on both times I did it. And I said, you know what? It's time. I got to do this now. So as soon as I got back, I made, you know, arrangements to take the exam. And I just walked in there with just the feeling of, you know, I just kind of – I don't want to say I was like 100% sure I was going to pass, but I just knew a lot better than the first time. I just kind of knew I was going to do all right. Did I think I was going to get a 92.5 again? No, but
– Yeah, that's is that now your favorite radio station?
Yes.
92.5, the Apple.
Yes.
Well, you know, and there is something to be said for that. I know when I was studying for Morse code and you know, getting that stuff out of the way in ham radio licensing, it was kind of the same for me. You know, you take the simulation tests, you have somebody go over, you know, certain things with you, and you just know, okay, I pretty much have this down. Now is the time. And when that happens, you have to go do it before it passes.
It's instinct. Right? You know, you got to trust your instinct sometimes. You know, that's the best way I could describe it.
Now, if you hadn't passed, it would have been another $150 fee, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, okay, so you don't get that money back.
No. No. But it's not like the $150 gets you two chances or something. It is $150 for the test. That's it.
Yeah, there's no consolation prize. There's no you get these gifts for, you know, before you leave.
Not even a $25 iTunes gift card?
No, unfortunately, no.
Well, you know, and people might say that that's a lot of money, and, you know, to some extent, they're right. It is a lot of money, but any kind of certification that you go and get, you know, I looked into getting my certification for rehab counseling. I have a degree in rehab counseling. And I looked into my vision rehab therapy certification. I have a degree in that as well. It's not cheap. You know, you're looking at a good $600 by the time you go through the whole process. So really, there's no real shortcuts in some of these things. You're just going to have to invest the time and the money.
It's an investment. That's the important word. You're putting out the money now because you want it to help you in the future. And, you know, it's like when a state agency sees the website and they see the certification, or I get, you know, I speak to people and they say, well, you know, what sets you apart from anybody else out there? And my usual answer is, well, you know, what sets me apart other than is really the credentials. I said, do I feel that I'm a better trainer than anybody else out there? Absolutely not. But I have the certification, and you can check the Apple website, and, you know, and that tends to be a big deal. You know, it's a big deal to state agencies.
Yeah.
Well, and as somebody with a disability, you want everything that you can get to get you ahead in the job market.
Right.
Right.
So with all that, I think that pretty much covers what I had for the certification. Alex, do you have anything else?
Boy, I'm trying to think. I mean, it's a lot to take in. I never really thought about this whole program in general. I kind of knew it was out there, but I don't know. I assumed it was either inaccessible or just kind of not worth it, but it's sounding like it's actually a really good thing to do if you've got, you know, $200, and I don't, but if you do, it's really sounding like it might be worth looking into, and it's certainly more accessible than I ever imagined it would be. I don't know why. I mean, it's Apple. Apple's accessible. I don't know why I didn't think it would be, but certifications in general just tend to be a little bit harder to get if you're visually impaired, it seems like, and
it's true.
So,
and let's break it down, though, Matt.
You know, I want more blind people to do it, please. It's just great.
Let's break it down a little bit, though, Alex. I mean, is it really a lot of money? All you have to do is, you know, at $200, wait a year for your iPhone upgrade. So for the cost of an iPhone upgrade, you could be certified, and that would really be something that, you know, if you want to stay in the field of technology, that's, I would say, a worthwhile investment.
And definitely. I mean, you just get everyone in your family to give you, $20 for your Christmas present, and you might have it. So, certainly possible. Very true. Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the other thing, too, is it's competitively priced. In fact, I would say you probably are getting more certification for your buck. I mean, you look at the JAWS certification and the WindowEyes certification. Those are about that price. They're in that price range. I think around $150 or so. Yeah. But with this, it's a mainstream certification. It's not specific to one screen reader or one platform necessarily.
Well, that's it too. It seems like if you get this, if you go to work for, you know, a Best Buy, an Apple Store, whatever, you've not only got the mainstream certification that you've spent your $150 on, it's not a certification for one screen reader that most people have never heard of. You've got mainstream training for everyone. Plus, you can market yourself as, if your store gets someone with a visual impairment, I can help them too. Whereas a mainstream trainer who doesn't have the voiceover knowledge that I do couldn't do that. So you kind of have a two-in-one.
Absolutely.
Well, John, this has been very informative for me. I would think for our listeners, too. You know, it's good to get the perspective of someone who is blind, who's gone out and done this certification within the mainstream. And it's really great to have you on. Do you have anything else that you'd like to add on the certification process or anything we didn't cover?
Well, like I said, I just really hope that people are inspired to do it, you know, because it's doable. And if I can pass, you know, other people can do it. I'm not special. It's just, I just, you know, I prepared myself. I knew what I was in for. And as long as you understand the road that you got to travel, I think the more blind people that do this, the better it is, you know, for us overall. It's just, I think people, if you're on the fence and you're contemplating it, I would definitely give even more thought and definitely consider doing it.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm actually thinking about doing it more now. I'm not sure I'm going to fit it in my busy schedule yet, but, you know, hopefully. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to cover in general, John? Anything else about Mac for the Blind or anything that we didn't get to that maybe doesn't even necessarily relate to the certification?
Well, just if people are interested in, you know, training, getting, whether it be for the certification or just in voiceover in general, there's information on my website to, you know, get in touch with me. And as I said earlier, the resources that you find up there in the demonstration section and the documentation section is certainly, you know, for free downloads. And I hope that when I do put the tutorials up there, I hope people do consider purchasing them, because like I said, I'm more or less floating this idea, and I guess what kind of reaction I get from the general public is going to determine how far I really run with it.
Sure. And do you know, or do you want to say, what is the first tutorial that you'll most likely release?
There's going to be an introduction to voiceover that's free. It's just to sort of whet people's appetite, give an idea of what to expect from the tutorials, and then I will have a tutorial on the voiceover utility, interaction on the Mac, and the Finder, you know, getting up and running with the Finder. So those are like the immediate ones that should be on the site probably by the end of the week at the very least.
Oh, nice. Wow. Well, I'm looking, that'll be good, because the basic voiceover tutorial that gets launched, you know, the first time you launch voiceover on a Mac, I mean, I guess it's good, but it's really outdated.
Yeah, and I try to be very comprehensive, and you know, the thing I try to do with the tutorials, even though we're obviously up the Yosemite, I try to be as general as possible, so that it doesn't matter whether you're using Snow Leopard or Lion or Mountain Lion or Mavericks. I'm hoping that you'll get something out of the tutorial, so it's not like it's specific. If I'm running Snow Leopard or if I'm running Mavericks, I shouldn't get this tutorial because it's John's using Yosemite. And I try to stress within the tutorials themselves that this does, you know, if it applies to a specific OS, I will say so. But I'm trying to be as general as possible so that people get the most out of the information.
That sounds good. I mean, that's what a lot of times we have to try to do that, because it is so, you're not going to record a new one every single year. You know, it just wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
And the thing that I love about the Mac is it tends not to change very much. You know, yeah, Mavericks introduced file tagging in the Finder, which previous OSs didn't have. But Command 1 through Command 4, they still work. You know, most of it is applicable way into the past and probably way into the future, too, which makes training a whole lot easier.
Right.
With that, I kind of actually want to loop back a little bit. Is it a fair assumption to say that if I pass the certification for Yosemite, most of the core components that I learned for Yosemite are going to apply to Okapi 10, correct?
Yeah. So what I do is I usually get the next guide and I read the guide, and they'll tell you in the guide what has changed. So I always try to stay current. I always purchase the guide and I read through it from beginning to end, because like I said, I do teach it to people. So I have to be aware of what has changed, you know, from, you know, let's say Mavericks to Yosemite. So, you know, as long as you buy that guide, it's going to be an investment every time a new OS comes out. But, you know, that's what you got to do if you want to stay current.
You mentioned that the exams take about 4 months or so to arrive after new OS launches. How long do the guides take?
Read through the guides?
No, like when Yosemite came out, you said about 4 months after that, then the exam for Yosemite was ready.
Yeah, they come out about the same time. They come about just about at the same time. Maybe the guide comes out maybe 2 weeks before you can start. You start to see the exam become available.
Got it.
All right. Well, John, thank you very much for coming on to the AppleViz Extra. We really appreciate the valuable information that you've given us. It was very helpful for me to get a little more insight into the certification process and to kind of know the man behind the website, as it were, for me anyway.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this AppleViz Extra. Thank you all for tuning in to the podcast. If you want to check out more of John's work and what he's up to, you can visit him at macfortheblind.com. That's all one word. Is there any other contact information you'd like to give out, John?
You could also email me at john@macfortheblind.com. You can follow me on Twitter at macfortheblind. You know, the information to contact me is by telephone and such is on the website.
And that website is spelled the not with the number four, right?
It's no, it's macfortheblind.com.
Great.
All right. From appleviz.com, this is Scott Davert saying so long. Thanks again, John. Bye-bye, everybody.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleViz. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.appleviz.com.